Please turn your Bibles to Numbers chapter 7. Numbers 7, and as you're turning there, I'm going to tell you that there are 89 verses in Numbers chapter 7, and we're going to read all 89 of them this evening. Some of you have already looked ahead and have been wondering about this very question. I'm going to tell you why we're going to read all 89, and then we will have the reading. And I don't think my answer is that profound, and I don't think it'll catch you that off guard. We are going to read all 89 verses because every word of God is pure, and because God has given us these words and these 89 verses, each and every one of them are far more important than what I'm going to say about the 89 verses. And so we need to hear God's word. I also, we're going to read these in their entirety also because in preaching through the book, I don't expect to do anything differently than what I would hope that you are doing anytime that you read through the word of God. That God has put 89 verses in Numbers chapter 7, and they're here for our good, for our benefit. They're here because he is saying they are important for us, and we as his people need to sit in submission to his word, even if at first glance that doesn't make perfect sense to us. And hopefully, though, God, through the power of his spirit, will encourage us and allow us to see why it is that he has shaped this passage in this way. Listen now to the word of the Lord. Now it came to pass when Moses had finished setting up the tabernacle that he anointed it and consecrated it and all its furnishings and the altar and all its utensils, so he anointed them and consecrated them. Then the leaders of Israel, the heads of their fathers' houses, who were the leaders of the tribes and over those who were numbered, made an offering. And they brought their offering before the Lord, 6 covered carts and 12 oxen, a cart for every 2 of the leaders, and for each one an ox, and they presented them before the tabernacle. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Accept these from them, that they may be used in doing the work of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall give them to the Levites, to every man according to his service. So Moses took the carts and the oxen and gave them to the Levites. 2 carts and 4 oxen he gave to the sons of Gershon according to their service, and 4 carts and 8 oxen he gave to the sons of Merari according to their service, under the authority of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. But to the sons of Kohath he gave none, because theirs was the service of the holy things which they carried on their shoulders. Now the leaders offered the dedication offering for the altar when it was anointed, so the leaders offered their offering before the altar. For the Lord said to Moses, they shall offer their offering 1 liter each day for the dedication of the altar. And the one who offered his offering on the first day was Nashon, the son of Amminadab, from the tribe of Judah. His offering was 1 silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering. 1 gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bull, 1 ram, and 1 male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 male lambs in their first year. This was the offering of Nashon, the son of Amminadab. On the second day, Nethanel, the son of Zuar, the leader of Issachar, presented an offering. For his offering he offered 1 silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering. 1 gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bull, 1 ram, and 1 male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering. 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering, and as the sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 male lambs in their first year. This was the offering of Nethanel, the son of Zuar. On the third day, Eliab, the son of Helon, leader of the children of Zebulun, presented an offering. His offering was 1 silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, and one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goats as a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five male goats, and five male lambs in their first year. This was the offering of Eliab, the son of Helon. On the fourth day, Eleazar, the son of Shedeur, the leader of the children of Reuben, presented an offering. His offering was one silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering. One gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, and one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goats as a sin offering, and as the sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five male goats, and five male lambs in their first year. This was the offering of Eleazar, son of Shedeur. On the fifth day, Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai, leader of the children of Simeon, presented an offering. His offering was one silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering. One gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, and one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goats as a sin offering, and as the sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five male goats, and five male lambs in their first year. This was the offering of Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai. On the sixth day, Eliaseph, the son of Deuel, leader of the children of Gad, presented an offering. His offering was one silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering. One gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, and one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goats as a sin offering, and as the sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five male goats, and five male lambs in their first year. This was the offering of Eliasaph, the son of Deuel. On the seventh day, Elishama, the son of Emahud, leader of the children of Ephraim, presented an offering. His offering was one silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering. One gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, and one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering. One kid of the goats as a sin offering, and as the sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five male goats, and five male lambs in their first year. This was the offering of Elishama, the son of Amihud. On the eighth day, Gamaliel, the son of Pedahzur, leader of the children of Manasseh, presented an offering. His offering was one silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, and one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goats as a sin offering, and as the sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five male goats, and five male lambs in their first year. This was the offering of Gamaliel, the son of Pedahzur. On the ninth day, Abidan, the son of Gideoni, leader of the children of Benjamin, presented an offering. His offering was one silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, and one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goats as a sin offering, and as a sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five male goats, and five male lambs in their first year. This was the offering of Abidan, the son of Gideoni. On the 10th day, Ahiezer, the son of Amishaddai, leader of the children of Dan, presented an offering. His offering was one silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering. One gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, and one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goats as a sin offering, and as the sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five male goats, and five male lambs in their first year. This was the offering of Ahazer, the son of Amishaddai. On the 11th day, Pagiel, the son of Ochran, leader of the children of Asher, presented an offering. His offering was one silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, and one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goats as a sin offering, and as a sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five male goats, and five male lambs in their first year. This was the offering of Pagiel, the son of Ochran. On the 12th day, Ahira, the son of Enan, leader of the children of Naphtali, presented an offering. His offering was one silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, and one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goats as a sin offering, and as a sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five male goats, and five male lambs in their first year. This was the offering of Ahira, the son of Enan. This was the dedication offering for the altar from the leaders of Israel when it was anointed. 12 silver platters, 12 silver bowls, and 12 gold pans. Each silver platter weighed 130 shekels, and each bowl 70 shekels. All the silver of the vessels weighed 2,400 shekels according to the shekel of the sanctuary. The 12 gold pans full of incense weighed 10 shekels apiece according to the shekel of the sanctuary. All the gold of the pans weighed 120 shekels. All the oxen for the burnt offering were 12 young bulls, the rams 12, the male lambs in their first year 12 with their grain offering, and the kids of the goats as a sin offering 12. And all the oxen for the sacrifice of peace offerings were 24 bulls, the rams 60, the male goats 60, and the lambs in their first year 60. This was the dedication offering for the altar after it was anointed. Now, when Moses went into the tabernacle of meeting to speak with him, he heard the voice of one speaking to him from above the mercy seat that was on the ark of the testimony from between the two cherubim. Thus he spoke to him. Well, I want you to know right up front that the thesis that I have for what it seems that Numbers 7 is teaching us is simply this: God honors those dedicating offerings that facilitate access to Him. I'll give you that again. God honors those dedicating offerings that facilitate access to Him. That is what is going on here in Numbers chapter 7, as the leaders of his people come forward with offerings in order that the temple, or in order that the tabernacle might be dedicated, in order that it might be useful, in order that it might be filled with the glory of the Lord, so that they might access his presence, and so that God might speak to them, of course, as we came to verse 89, through the voice and through the mouth of Moses. And so very clearly as we begin, and you could write down as our first point in seeing that God honors those dedicating offerings that facilitate access to him, our first point is just simply that dedication offerings are brought. All that list of offerings is bracketed by the statement that the people, that these leaders were concerned, verse 10, they were offering this dedication offering for the altar when it was anointed. And then at the end of the text as well, verse 84, toward the end, this was the dedication offering for the altar from the leaders of Israel when it was anointed. And then it goes on to list them. And then again in verse 88, this was the dedication offering for the altar after it was anointed. Now, we're here in the book of Numbers. We're here in the book of Numbers, chapter 7, and we might easily lose our place in the storyline, because actually what has happened is that Moses has jumped back in time a little ways in order to tell us this account. And you see this back in chapter 7, verse 1. It tells us that this event, these 12 days, actually took place right after the tabernacle had been erected. So we could go back in our Bibles to Exodus chapter 40. Remember, the tabernacle had been constructed. God had given the design of it. It had been constructed according to that design. They construct it, and the Shekinah glory of the Lord fills the tabernacle. And that event, when the tabernacle was dedicated, when the altar was dedicated, that is day one in our timeline, day one of these 12 days of dedication. Interestingly, like you can go into the book of Leviticus and see the death of Nadab and Abihu, two of the sons of Aaron, that took place on day eight. So right in the middle of Numbers chapter 7, there's the death of two of the sons of the high priest. And so it's in the midst of that celebration, in the midst of God giving them the design for the tabernacle being built, set up, and God coming and filling it, that the leadership of the nation, the leaders of each of these tribes, come and bring these offerings. And first of all, as we think about these offerings, we can see the shape that God-honoring offerings take. These dedication offerings teach us something about what and how we ought to give to the Lord in order to honor him. I just want to quickly give you four C's in this regard. First of all, notice that these offerings that they gave were concrete. Okay, we are talking tonight not particularly about the general offerings of worship, of prayer, things like that, of a heart offered to the Lord. Instead, we are talking here in this passage about concrete, particular, real items that were given. And I trust I don't need to review each of the items in detail. I think you've heard those items. So they gave concretely to the Lord's house. Secondly, they gave that which was costly. The platters of silver that were given weighed 3.25 pounds each. The bowls that were given weighed 1.75 pounds each. So that's a total of 5 pounds of silver. In addition, gold, and in our text it translates it as the pan. Maybe a better translation would be saucer or even spoon. It's about 4 ounces. So 4 ounces is the size of that. But in today's dollars, that's an $8,000 little gold, just the cost of the gold alone. On today's market value, at roughly $2,000 an ounce. That's an $8,000 little plate. On top of that, of course, you'd have the expense of turning that silver into an actual little dish whatever we have here. On top of that, of course, you have the livestock, the grain, the carts that were given. These were very costly gifts that were brought to the Lord. And we need to recognize, in the consistent testimony of the Scripture, is that God is pleased when we give to him that which costs us something. Now, recognize, of course, that the scripture and Jesus encounters that widow, right, giving just her mite out of what she didn't have. She gave of her pennies, but she gave that which cost her something. And it's very easy for us and tempting for us to give out of our excess. You all know that I have a bad garage sale habit. And this summer, on more than one occasion, something happened to me that had never happened before. And that is that people found out that I was a pastor. Actually, one of the things I do is I'll go to garage sales here in the church neighborhood to get to know people a little bit and just to make myself known. And so I've done that ever since I've arrived in town. But this year, when people heard that I was a pastor, a few different times people said, "Oh, that's great. Does your church need clothes? Because if you'd be willing to come back about 3 o'clock, we would give you, you know, whatever is left over here." So what are those people doing? They're giving to the Lord that which they've already used and that which won't sell for a dollar or a quarter an item. Oh, then we would like God to have our leftovers. Is that the way that we deal with the Lord and our giving? Or will we give the Lord that which is costly? King David in 2 Samuel 24:24 says, "I won't give to the Lord that which costs me nothing." So the offerings that they brought were concrete. They were costly. Notice also in the very early verses of this chapter, their offerings were creative. Now, it might seem to you that chapter 7 is a chapter that demonstrates that there's no room whatsoever for any creativity ever in our giving. But notice actually what these 12 leaders did. They saw this tabernacle being constructed. They could see all the gear that was involved. They recognize that actually, particularly for the sons of Merari, who had, remember, the poles and the actual physical, the structure, the physical walls and things like that to carry, they looked at that and they saw that there were actually going to be several tons of gear for them to carry. And so they bring forward on their own initiative these 6 covered carts, verse 3, and the 12 oxen. And what do they do? So the Lord's given them an idea. The Lord's given them a realization that, boy, there's a lot of gear here. Some carts could be useful and helpful in the transportation of this tabernacle. And so they come and they present them before the tabernacle. And they say, "Here's a way that we can help." But notice that they do so, verse 5, with submission. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Accept these from them, that they may be used in doing the work of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall give them to the Levites, every man according to his service." So they come with an idea of something that they think will be helpful, but they come and present that offering before the Lord to Moses and wait on Moses to hear from the Lord, will this in fact be helpful or will it not? Now, when we give, and we're going to talk some more about this in a few moments, we need to recognize that there is room in the way that we give to the work of the Lord. There is room for creativity. There's room to look around and to say, you know, we could improve the quality. And I actually am not usually home to see the YouTube feed, for instance. But maybe you're someone who's watched the YouTube feed and you say, you know, here's an idea of a way that we could enhance our YouTube feed. And maybe you can do something concrete to enhance that, something that is creative. And if you do that, then you need to be willing to bring it forward, bring it humbly, and to say, here's an idea I have. Is this in fact helpful? And to allow the leadership to evaluate if in fact it is workable. So they bring things that are concrete, costly, and also they use creativity in doing this. In addition, of course, the text points out to us that they gave gifts that conformed. Most offerings that you and I give are going to look an awful lot alike. That the goal of our giving to the Lord, the goal of giving offerings to the Lord, is not primarily to say, hey, everyone, pay attention to me. Look at what a great idea I have. Look at how special I am. Or to say, I will only give when I have a creative idea. I will only give when there's something new and I'm the person who's dreamt it up, like these carts. No, I'm going to give in the ways that the Lord has prescribed and in the ways that he has ordered, according to the offerings that he's asked for, as these 12 leaders offer the burnt offerings, the sin offerings, the peace offerings, the grain offerings to the Lord day after day. So these offerings are brought into the house of the Lord. And what does the text then teach us about these offerings? Well, it teaches us, secondly, so they bring these offerings. Secondly, we see that God honors their offerings by remembering the givers and granting access to him. God honors the offerings by remembering the givers and granting access to him. Now, this is where we can start to wrestle with, why is chapter 7 written the way that it is? You don't have to be very old. You don't have to be a very accomplished writer to already know, if I tell you, you have 20 verses to communicate the content of Numbers 7, can you do it? To say, yeah, I think I can do that. I think I could sum that up quite a bit more succinctly than the way that it is communicated. And so then we need to ask ourselves the question, well, then why did God communicate it this way? Think about the Ten Commandments. God is not, by definition, a wordy God, a God who just multiplies words. The Ten Commandments are amazingly succinct in the instruction that's contained in just a few short words. And so why here, then, do we have 89 verses to convey this content to us? And that's where we need to, by faith, believe that as much as what is being said, that God wants us to pay attention to the way in which he is saying it. And God says it in this way to communicate, I believe, a few different things to us. First of all, God is recognizing those who gave. God is giving recognition. And he's teaching us that he notices and that he remembers each giver and each gift. Doesn't that come out clearly in number 7, that God takes note of each giver and each gift that is given? We get thank you notes from time to time after these baby showers and bridal showers and weddings. And something I've noticed in these thank you notes is we don't just get a note that says, thank you so very much for attending my bridal shower on September the 10th. It was very nice and I got lots of nice gifts. See you at church, signed whoever, right? There's care that's taken to list whether it's a cutting board or a knife set or, you know, whatever it is that we happen to be a part of giving. That comes through in the thank you note. People like to be recognized individually. And God honors those who gave by recognizing them and what they gave. And this is a helpful thing for us to reflect on, because as a church, we rightly emphasize and regularly emphasize the importance of corporate worship, the importance of the worship that we offer together. But one danger of that can be that we emphasize the corporate nature of worship to the detriment of the individual participation in worship. And in God's economy, it's not an either or. And when we only recognize and emphasize the corporate worship, it can then be easy for us in our minds perhaps to slip into, well, look, there will be another 150 people there. What difference does it make if I show up or not? You know, my voice is not really that good. I'm not an opera quality singer after all, and I'm not the one preaching, I'm not the one praying, and I can go ahead and mail in my check. And what difference does it really make? Well, the number one difference it really makes is the Lord knows if you're here or if you're not. The Lord knows those who give to Him and what they give. And so this should encourage us, right? Encourage us that God takes note of our sacrifices for Him, that God knows our involvement, that God knows the things that we give up, that we give to Him, and that He is willing and happy to recognize us for those contributions. Secondly, in addition to this passage teaching us that God notices and remembers, that He recognizes, it also teaches us that God honors these gifts by giving this access. So remember again, the purpose of these gifts that were given was to dedicate the tabernacle to the Lord. And once again, it's important for us to remember back to the setting in Exodus. Because we come to the book of Numbers and we say, well, the tabernacle's been there in the center for a long time. No, it wasn't. Day one, remember, is day one. Day one of these 12 days of dedication is day one. And if you go back in the book of Exodus, not to just chapter 40, but back to chapter 33, and back even a little earlier than that, and remember that the people had sinned with the golden calf. And God said at that point in time, I'm not going to be in the middle of this people anymore, Moses. And then in Exodus 33, it tells us, Exodus 33, 7, if you want the exact cross-reference, that Moses took a tent and set it up outside of the camp and called it the tent of meeting, and that the Lord would come down and meet with him there, outside of the camp. And what happens in Exodus 40 is not only that some new tent goes up for the Lord, but that that new tent goes up where? In the middle of the camp. And verse 89 of our chapter confirms to us not only that a tent was built at the middle of the camp, not only that the people were happy to have the tent at the middle of the camp, because there can be a tent at the middle of the camp and the people can be happy to have it there, but if God is not pleased to be there, it's just a shadow box, isn't it? It's an empty tent. But verse 89 tells us that God was pleased to continue meeting with people, that God, as Exodus 40 tells us, as Shekinah glory descended, the cloud descended right on that tent, and that God dwelt again in the midst of his people. And so access what through these gifts and through the sacrificial offerings of God's people was once again granted. Now, one more aspect of access being granted from Numbers chapter 7. And that is, we might ask the question, well, why not? You know, why do we really need to have all the names? Why does each guy need to have his own day? Why does it all have to list this all out again and again and again? God is communicating not only his willingness to dwell in the middle of his people, but he's saying to each of the 12 tribes, you are welcome at my house. Each of the leaders, in dedicating their offerings to the Lord and being part of the dedication, is saying, as for the tribe of Naphtali, this is our place of worship. And Gad doesn't want to be left out. As for the tribe of Gad, that is our house of worship. And so God grants access to his person and grants access to all 12 of the tribes, all 12 of whom were guilty of the sin with the golden calf. God, through this offering, is showing and welcoming them back into fellowship with him, back into his house and dwelling in the midst. So God recognizes their gifts. God gives access to them. And we could also say that the shape of this passage, thirdly, in terms of God honoring the offerings by remembering the givers and granting access to him, the very shape of this text, though, teaches us that the need for sacrifice is not yet complete. Right? I mean, why stop after 12 days? Is it that God only needs this many oxen and this many bulls and this many sheep? And what is it about this that satisfies the Lord particularly? And in some ways, the chapter is open-ended, right? It does close it off, and we've got the end of the 12 tribes, but there's still a need for more sacrifice as well. But God has now honored them and honors these sacrifices, honors these gifts with his presence. So once again, our thesis, and we're now 2 points into it, God honors those dedicating offerings that facilitate access to him. God honors those dedicating offerings that provide, that facilitate access to him. Now that may be a good summary of Numbers chapter 7. But we don't ever want to be one text Christians. We don't ever want to build doctrines from just one text of Scripture and what it has to say. So ask yourself, does the idea that God honors those who dedicate offerings to facilitate access to him, does that hold water? Does that thesis hold up if we compare it to the rest of Scripture? And of course, you already know my answer, or we wouldn't have come down this path. But what you need to think about next is, where does this fit in the broader biblical storyline? And the answer to that is that God honors Christ for his offering that facilitated access to him. That God honors Christ for his offering that facilitates access to him. And doesn't that fit with the flow of the Scripture? You got tired, perhaps, listening to Numbers chapter 7. And each of these 12 men, I don't know if you were counting or not. Each of these 12 men got 6 verses to his name, 6 verses to record what he brought to the Lord. But Jesus Christ, of course, brought a much greater offering, much greater in value, and far, far greater in its accomplishment. And for that, the Father is pleased to honor the Son. Think about this for a moment, okay? When we think about the sacrifice of Christ, of course, it's a glorious truth. It's an amazing thing. And yet it would have actually been far easier for the Lord Jesus Christ to just have created a new world, wouldn't it? He, by the word of his mouth, right? He was the Word that was with the Father in the beginning. Through his power, through his might, in 6 days, in simple words being spoken, this world came into being. And you and I were created. I mean, not us physically right at that moment, of course, but our parents, Adam and Eve, were created. Praise God. How much easier, when sin entered this world, would it have been for Christ to say, you know, Father, rather than saving this world for you, why don't I just create another one? Another one. I'll make it different this time, or somehow better. And that was not the Father's good plan. The Father says, no, I want these people to have access to me. And Jesus said, I will provide the sacrifice to make that a reality. Hebrews 10:20 tells us that he is the new and living way that he consecrated through his own flesh for us, that we might come near to him. And so the much greater access, right? His greater sacrifice results in much greater access for you and for me. And consequently, I mean, if you think the son of Zuri Shaddai and these other people have a decent name because they're recorded here and get 6 verses, he has the name, what? That is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Worthy is the Lamb to receive glory and honor and power. The name that is above every name. As we think about the honor that these leaders of Israel received, how much greater the honor when Jesus ascended on high and his Father said, welcome home. Welcome home. Be seated here at my right hand. The Father honored Christ and honors Christ for dedicating the offering necessary that people like you and me might have access to him. And that access is used, first of all, by Jesus himself. Psalm 21, what he requested with his lips, you fully have supplied. That Jesus lives now to make intercession for you and for me, and that he's pleading for us. He's using that access that he's purchased himself to secure for us all that we need for life and godliness. But that access is, of course, extended to us as well. That Jesus is the representative of our tribe, as the God-man obtained and purchased access for us through his own body, through his own blood. And so Numbers 7 is actually showing us and teaching us the shape of the honor that the Father will place upon the Son as the one who has provided access to his people by dedicating a new and living way into the tabernacle for us. And that brings us then to the parallel for us, for our lives, is that we too then, as those who are called to be Christ-like, are to dedicate offerings that facilitate access to God. Do you value your access to God? Do you value the privilege that it is to be able to hear His voice and His word speaking to you? Do you value the privilege that it is for you to come to the Lord at any point, at any time in prayer? Because if we value that access, it will be reflected in the allocation of our resources. And that'll show up then in standard and in creative ways. That there will be ways that we give of our resources to the Lord that will look an awful lot like the rest of the people in this room. Right, that'll be in the form of financial offerings to the Lord. But if we value access to the Lord, it will also at times be expressed in creative ways, where we will see, boy, there's ways that we can help out certain people. There's ways that we can make the gospel more accessible to some. There's ways that we can make the worship of God more accessible to certain people, and we need to take steps to do that. I'd like to help provide for that. I'd like to help set that up. I'd like to help think through how to make that a reality. And so we all have a call to contribute to the ministry of Southside and to keep it and to make it a place of more accessible worship. And we also have a responsibility as a congregation, as those who do this, to let people know that they have a stake. That was part of what the leaders were doing and leading in the work that they were doing. You know, tribe of Issachar, come along with me. We have a stake in the tabernacle of the Lord. And so we need to have place and to make place and to lead people to the place of experiencing the presence of God, living in His presence. But these kinds of givings are not just restricted locally, are they? It should certainly inform our missions giving as well. Are we giving to things that facilitate access points for people to the Lord? We prayed this morning for unreached people groups, people who have no tabernacle, so to speak. And do we so value our access to the Lord that we say, it grieves me that there are people around the world who don't share in this access? And I will give that which is costly to me, that which is of concrete value to me, in order that others might have access to God as well. And then there are other things that we can do too to facilitate access to the Lord as well. One area that I think of is I would appeal to the fathers and husbands of this church. Are you facilitating access to the Lord in your homes and family worship? And it's hard to get up a little earlier in the morning to have time to spend time in the Word and in prayer with your family before you head off to work. Or you come home at the end of the day and you're tired. You've worked hard, you've initiated things, and it's hard sometimes to just even find the energy to say, you know, I'd rather turn off the TV, I'd rather put down my smartphone, I'd rather put down this book I'm enjoying so that our family can spend time in the Word and prayer together But the Lord calls us to provide access points to Him, and to even sacrifice those things that are precious to us in order that this might take place. There's many other examples that you can think of, but this gives you some concrete things to think about as we think about the fact that God honors those who dedicate offerings in order to facilitate access to Him. And praise God that we have a Savior who came to earth understanding this very principle and who valued your and my access to the throne of grace more than He valued His own life, willing to be truly a burnt offering for us. And God has been faithful to do exactly what He did in Numbers 7 and to give to our Savior the name that is above every name. And so we praise and we glorify Him. And we show that we value what He has done for us, even as we seek to live out that same sacrificial, willing giving in order that that access might be given to others as well. Amen. Our great God in heaven, how we thank You that You had a plan and a purpose for us to receive access, to be able to have fellowship and communion with You. And how we thank You, Jesus Christ, that You who are our leader, the captain of our salvation, that You stepped up and that You laid down Your own life in order that we might have this access. And so we acknowledge You as the one who has the name above every name, as the one who is worthy, worthy as the Lamb, to receive glory and honor and power. And we acknowledge, Jesus, that apart from You, that we would have no access whatsoever. Were it not for Your offering, for Your sacrifice on our behalf, we would be lost. And so we thank You for what You have done for us. We pray, Lord, that we would live out the principles of Numbers 7 and that we would glorify our Savior by doing so. We pray that the offerings that we give would provide access to real people, that there would be real fruit from those offerings that we bring, and that there would be people even whom You would allow access because of the work, because of the offerings that are given here at Southside and that are given by people in this congregation as well. Thank You for hearing us. Thank You for redeeming us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.